Certainly a joy to be in God's house today. We do want to welcome you to the services here at Meridian Baptist Church. If you are visiting with us today, we're glad that you're here, and we want to get acquainted with you and get to know you better. So please do us a favor. Take just a few moments, if you will, and fill out the guest card that's located there in the pew, and just simply place that in the offering plate at the appropriate time so that we can rejoice in your attendance with us today. I want us to all stand together as we dedicate this service to the Lord. We always want to begin with a word of prayer. Today's a special day as we celebrate God and country, and I know that our choir has a special presentation later in the service, and then also I have a message on the character of God that I'll be bringing, but just a wonderful day as we come together in the Lord's house. Let's pray together and dedicate this time to Him. Father, we are forever grateful for the privilege that You have given us, Lord, that we can collectively come together as a body of believers, as Christians, as the Meridian family. Lord, that we can come together and worship in a moment like this. And Lord, today, as we have this special service, as we celebrate God and country, Father, all the glory goes to You. We're so forever grateful for the freedoms that we have here in our nation, that we can serve You, that we can follow You and share our testimony with others. And Lord, we're thankful for the salvation that is available through Jesus Christ. Lord, we give You the service in advance. We come to You in this moment, Lord, as a time of dedication. We stand together for that very purpose. We're acknowledging the fact that this service is not about us, but rather this service is all about You. It's to make Your name great. Lord, we ask that through this time together, whether it be the singing of the hymns or the preaching of the word, that everything would be done in such a way that would give You the glory and that would give You the honor. Father, that's our purpose. That's our purpose as a church, that all that we do would be to give You the glory and the honor that You so rightly deserve. And Lord, as always, our heartbeat and our prayer is for people to be saved. Lord, we want people to know and experience the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So Lord, that's our prayer today. Lord, I ask that You would just be with our congregation today, that You would just speak to our hearts. Father, we just praise You for all things, and we give You the glory and the honor, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Remain standing if you will. Brother Dennis.
One mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal is prevailing. For still our ancient foe.
Well, good morning. My name is Chris Milligan. I am the minister to children and youth here at Meridian Baptist Church. We do, again, want to welcome you all. If you will, just take your bulletin. On the very front of it, we have a bit of scripture. We're going to read through that as we just prepare our hearts for what God has for us today. Scripture today is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and they say this. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Let's pray. God, we come before you today, humbly as we know how. God, I pray that in this moment that our hearts are just made soft for you. God, that we are prepared and ready to receive you. God, prepared and ready to worship you and worship you alone. God, that this will be a time dedicated to you and nothing else and no one else. God, that we will cast our gaze onto you in this moment and nothing can possibly break it. God, may we worship you well today. I pray a special prayer over Brother Michael as he brings the word, that you will give him the words to speak, that he won't add to nor take away from. But dear God, that he would speak solely what you would have him say, and that it will be received by people with open hearts, open minds, and open ears to receive you. God, it's in your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We're changing up our order a little bit. If the ushers are coming forward to take up our offering, we will have a time of prayer for the offering, and then we'll go into our musical. All right, let's pray for our offering. Father, you are so gracious to us, the gifts that you give us every day, life, health, the beauty of this day. Father, we ask that we would take this time, that we would give back a little bit of what you've given to us to you, and that in all things we acknowledge that we are just stewards of the money that you provided for us, and our time, and all the things that we have to offer, our talents, that all of them can be given to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. The freedom we enjoy in this great land was won by patriots who lived more than 200 years ago. When 56 of them gathered in Philadelphia in 1776, American independence was just a radical idea. The document they signed there said, "These United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states." That declaration ignited the flame of independence, and today it seems inconceivable that it could have been any other way. Yet every generation of Americans faces the same question: what is freedom worth? What will you pledge to make sure it doesn't disappear? What will you do to honor those that gave their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor in defense of liberty?
Everyone is equal.
Please remain standing and let's together recite our Pledge Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. We're not a perfect country, and this is not a perfect world. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We've faced trouble as a nation and as individuals. But if we are people who truly believe in God's power, who trust His sovereignty, who are convinced of His goodness, that we should do when life is wrong, when sorrow comes, when enemies threaten. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, gives us God's instructions to follow. Just as we have God's promise to hear our prayers we offer up for our nation, we have a sacred responsibility to guard and protect the freedoms He has given us. Sometimes the problems we face as a country seem so overwhelming. We're tempted to give in to hopelessness and despair. But the answer, we have a higher call to fight for justice, to give our all for freedom, to stand for America.
I hear them say, our country's far too gone. Even claim our fathers got it wrong. But I won't give up on us, and I'll take a stand. 'Cause we can overcome, this is not the end. I still believe in America, you're still the land I love, though a little bruised up. Stars and stripes still cry liberty over evil, over tyranny. Blood poured out for our freedom, they sacrificed it all for this nation. I still believe in us, my America. Full of bravery, heroes fought for our equality. Now is the time to make peace and forgive our faults, because united we stand, or divided we will fall.
Give up on this nation that's been blessed by Almighty God? No, we vow to remember the way He has guided us in the past and to live lives He will bless once again. Oh God our Father, how we thank You for this land where we have enjoyed Your kindness and abundance. We will now take it for granted. We will honor You by living with gratitude and by working to make liberty and justice for all a reality.
My country, tears of
has planted a deep and abiding longing for freedom inside each soul. We know we weren't meant to live in bondage. Freedom was His plan from the very start. And where God has put a need, He has also provided the way. Through the sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus, we can know the truest freedom of all, the freedom to be fully His.
Thank you.
Let's give God the glory one more time. We're certainly blessed today with such a sweet spirit in the church, and I appreciate all of our musicians and all that they've done to put together our program and as we celebrate God and country. Just a couple things, as you're turning to Exodus chapter 3, just want to make mention that we're excited to share with you that our new church website should be launched here in about a month or two, and so we're thankful for that. We're blessed today to have Katie Sams with us in the building. She is a photographer, and she'll be taking pictures throughout the service that they will be able to put on the website. And in that launch with the website, I appreciate Brother Chris Milligan, our student pastor. He's been in the process of building a new Facebook page for the church along with the Instagram. So we're getting pretty high tech here at Meridian. And so I'm excited about all these things that the Lord is doing through technology. And I know that we all look forward to that day that we see those opportunities of service. But I do want us to bring our attention to Exodus chapter 3 this morning. I appreciate Brother Chris reading our scripture front as we began our service, and we'll be looking specifically at the attribute of the aseity of God. That's probably one of the attributes that you're least familiar with. Don't be surprised or don't be discouraged if that's an attribute that you're unfamiliar with. But my heartbeat and my prayer this morning is that you truly would have a deeper understanding and a better grasp on what the aseity of God is after this morning's message. So for the last few months, we've been walking through the various attributes and the character traits of God. We've considered the love of God and the wisdom of God, the wrath of God and the grace of God, the holiness of God, the jealousy of God, the fatherhood of God, and the mercy of God. And so we've got a long way to go. We still have a list that I've put together that I want us to consider in the coming weeks, such as the joy of God, the justice of God, the severity of God, the anger of God, the sovereignty of God, the truthfulness of God, the omnipresence and the omniscience and the omnipotence of God, the immutability of God and the patience of God, the goodness of God and the glory of God. So yes, we have a long way to go. I don't plan to really be very long-winded today, but I do want us to be very thorough in our study. You'll notice on the back of your bulletin there is an outline that we have that we will unpack together in just a few moments. And so my heartbeat and my prayer, the purpose that we're doing this particular study for 2025 is that we would grow to know God in a deeper way here at Meridian Baptist Church. I mean, that's my heartbeat. That's your pastor's heartbeat. I want us to flourish and grow as a church, and part of that is knowing and understanding the character and the nature of God. And so, yes, we do have a lengthy list, and that's intentional. My prayer is that as we unpack these various attributes and character traits, that we would get to know God in a deeper way. So what about today's word, the aseity of God? I've already had a church member walk up to me and say, hey, what's the aseity of God? And so I had a chance to do a commercial and say, wait just a few moments and you'll find out. And so we'll find out together today about the aseity of God. The best way that I could define the aseity of God is the fact that God is self-existent. He's self-sufficient. He is self-sustaining. Let me say those three things again. His self-existence we see in Scripture. We see the fact that he is self-sufficient, and he's also self-sustaining. None of those things can be said about creation itself. In fact, none of those things can be said about we as human beings. We're frail, we're fickle, we're broken people. We're in need of a creator. But yet God is creator, and he's self-sufficient, he's self-sustaining, and he's self-existent. R.C. Sproul said this pertaining to the aseity of God. He says in this little theological word is captured all the glory and perfection of God's being. It is what makes God different from you and different from me and different from all of creation. God and God alone has aseity. God and God alone exists by his own power. And so I think one of the first things that we could highlight in this particular topic is the fact that God is God and we are not. I mean, if there's ever been an attribute that we unpack in our study that highlights the fact that God is God and we are not, this is it, the aseity of God. And so there's a lot of passages that we could have gone to today for our purposes, though. We find ourselves in Exodus chapter 3. And again, I just simply acknowledge the truth. I just simply want to skim the surface on this topic. There's absolutely no way that we can fully dive into the depths of God's character, as rich of a topic as it is. And so we will be doing well to just simply skim the surface. And that's my plan for our time together today. Puritan writer Thomas Boston, and by the way, his grandson was also a writer, also by the name of Thomas Boston. There were two Thomas Bostons, but this would be Tom Boston the Elder, said this pertaining to the character and nature of God: "That which is incomprehensible cannot be perfectly known." I think we all would agree, when it comes to the power of the Word of God and the Scriptures that God has given us and the Word of God that God has entrusted us to our care, we have been given the information that provides us to know God, to believe in God, and to find salvation in God. But with that said, let's just be honest. There's some things about the character of God we just don't know. God is a very rich topic. And so there are some things that you and I may not necessarily understand and know at this particular juncture, at this particular time, on this side of eternity. But know this, dear child of God, when we enter heaven, the curtain will be pulled back. And the things that we do not understand pertaining to Scripture or pertaining to the character and nature of God will be explained to us, and we will have fullness of knowledge. I look forward to that day. But let's look at Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Notice what it says. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' He said, 'But I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you, that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.' Verse 13, 'Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, they will ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" It's an overwhelming statement. God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." And all God's people said, amen. I want every head bowed and every eye closed as we pray at this time and ask God's blessing upon our passage of Scripture today. Father, we ask that you would give us clarity of thought, that you would give us understanding. Lord, that we would walk away today with a deeper appreciation for the richness of your word and better understanding of the depth of your character. Oh God, that you would just pull back the blinders from our eyes and that we would see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we rest in the promise that you truly are self-existent. Lord, that you are self-sufficient. Lord, that you are self-sustaining. We find comfort in your power. And Lord, we ask that you would help us see ourselves for who we are, as broken people in need of salvation. And so, Lord, with our Bibles open before us, we pray that you would help us understand what the text says and what it means, and that we would take it and apply it to our lives in a way that honors you. Father, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. I know that you're familiar with Exodus chapter 3, as God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and told him to go to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of slavery. And if you know anything about the background of this particular passage, Moses was somewhat a little gun-shy, so to speak, to really do this. He did not feel like this was in his wheelhouse. He did not feel like he had this in his skill set. And as you read the text and as you listen to what I've read to you this morning, you can almost hear in his voice this sense of hesitancy, not willing and not ready to go. But yet God gives these comforting words in response to how Moses responds. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites."
This phrase, I am who I am in the Hebrew, is Eyeh Asher Eyeh. And it literally means first common singular, the verb to be, Eyeh. And so when it was used in regular conversation, it carried significant meaning, of course. For instance, I'll use the word I am in a sentence. I am watching the sheep, Eyeh, watching the sheep. Or I am walking on the road. Or I am, Eyeh, his father. It was a word that was in part of the common everyday Hebrew language. And yet when it stood alone, when it was isolated in thought, it carried even greater significance. And that's what we see here in our passage of Scripture. We see that God was saying that he is self-sufficient, he is self-sustaining, and his presence is immediate. I don't know about you, but that brings me comfort. And I believe with all of my heart that those words would have brought comfort to the people of God in that moment. They needed a leader. They needed a guide. They needed a director. And God had called Moses to be that leader in that moment. And God would provide for Moses and give him the skill set that he needed to lead the people out of Egypt. But as this statement is made, as we think about the beauty of these words and what it involves, I am that I am. Truly, what an overwhelming statement for the people of God as we think about the promises of God. He promised them that he would be all that he is. He stands ever present and unchangeable, completely sufficient in himself to do what he wills to do and to accomplish his purposes for his people. Now, with that said, turn, if you will, to your outline on the back of your bulletin. Let's unpack this together and realize the beauty of what it means to talk about the aseity of God. The first point is simply this: God is self-existent. God is self-existent. This is a great passage, by the way, for us to think about today as we're celebrating God and country. I could have brought a traditional patriotic message. There's a time for that, but I did feel led of the Lord to go to this particular attribute of God, the aseity of God. And when we think about God and country, and we think about all that he's done for us as a nation, we see these attributes in action. And so God is self-sufficient. In other words, God is eternally self-existent, who always has been, always is, and always will be. Now I want you to think about that with me for just a moment. God has created people for eternity. God has put eternity in the heart of man. May I say this to you today? God created you with eternity in mind. The moment you were born, you have continued on in this journey called life. Even after you die, you spend eternity either in heaven or hell. But the truth of the matter is this: we are eternal beings. We will either face eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. But where we differ from God is the fact there was a point on the timeline when we did not exist. But God has always been. That's an overwhelming thought. There's never been a moment that God didn't exist. God is self-existent. He has eternal self-existence. He is self-derived, so to speak. He did not have a beginning. He has always been, and he has no end. And that's so unlike his creatures. We are dependent. We're derived from. We're finite. We're fragile. But our Maker exists in an eternal, self-sustaining way. It's a pretty overwhelming thought. And it's all throughout Scripture, by the way. I have a handful of verses that the guys will put up on the screen. So let's just kind of walk through the Bible and consider how this is articulated. The first one is this, Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. It says this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Meridian, listen to me. Just rest in that thought today. Just hover over this great text and think about the fact that God is eternal. And in all the crazy things that are unfolding in our world today, and it seems like in the hustle and bustle of life, people have lost their moral compass, and it seems like everything is falling apart. Isn't it wonderful to know that our God is everlasting? Here's another verse, Psalm 102, verse 27. Simply says this, "You are the same and your years have no end." It's in reference to how everything changes around us. And yet, with that said, we see that God is the same. Isaiah 44, 6, it says this, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God." This is very similar to what we may recognize in the New Testament when Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," in the book of Revelation. There is a promise there in Scripture of the eternal nature of God. And so we think about the New Testament. Our next passage is in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And we see this message as Paul is writing to the churches at Colossae, and he highlights the supremacy of Christ, that the purpose in all that the church does is all about Jesus. Look what it says in verse 16. "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, or all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Our purpose as a church, the reason why we exist, the reason why the people that started Meridian Baptist Church back in 1874, they had a vision, they had a purpose, and their purpose was to give God glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. And may that be our heartbeat here as a church today, that our focal point is not about programs, that it's not about the music, it's not about the preaching per se, it's not about what we offer to the community or our outreach events, but the focal point is about Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's another passage I thought would be good for us to consider. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. It says this, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." Who is like our God? One of the great questions that we find within the Scriptures, who is like God? No one is like God. And so we rest in that promise and we think about the aseity of God, that he's truly self-existent. But number two on your outline, if you're taking notes, I would just simply say he's self-sufficient. Now this seems to rattle the cage some of our people today. Some of our believers have a hard time seeing God as self-sufficient. But if you really think it through, that's what the Scriptures teach. I hate to burst your bubble, but God doesn't need you. Let me get a stronger amen than that. God doesn't need you. And sadly, in some of the theological, evangelical circles today, there's this idea that God needs us. God doesn't need you. Now, don't misunderstand me. God has called us to be faithful with the gospel. God has called us to be witnesses to this lost, dark, and dying world. And we are called to be obedient to the Great Commission and share the good news of Jesus. But hear me today. God does not need you. He's self-sufficient. Raises the question, why did God create creation? Don't blow a gasket, but let's think about that for just a moment. Why did God the Creator create? I mean, why did he do all that he did? Was he bored? Was he desperate? Was he lonely? No, no, and no. Here's what Jonathan Edwards said. Jonathan Edwards argued that the ultimate purpose for which God created the world was for the praise of his glory. Thus, our chief end and God's chief end are one and the same, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's the purpose of all these things that God has done, is that he gets the glory. Know this, God is self-sufficient. He did not have a void. He did not have a deficiency. He was not needy. He simply did all these things for his glory. It's an overwhelming thought. A couple other things come to mind when I say that God does not need us. The first thing I would say is God owns all things. That's what Scripture teaches. God is a possessor of heaven and earth, Genesis chapter 14. Everything possessed by creatures comes from God. The Lord made heaven and earth, and every good and perfect gift is from His hand. God doesn't need anything. And we give something back to God. When we give something back to Him, we give only what it was given first given to us. It belongs to Him in the first place. In other words, we are God's stewards, and we're held accountable for whether or not we have used what He has given to us for His glory. The things that you think you own, hear me today, you own absolutely nothing. God has given you those things and entrusted them into your care. They're simply on loan. God owes you nothing, and God owes nothing to any creature. God has no needs. I believe Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 through 12 is one of our verses today. This is what it says: "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills." We recognize that phrase, don't we? "I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine." God has no needs. All right, let's wrap this up in a neat little bow. Look at your outline. We're going to just kind of knock this out, and then we're going to go eat. You'll notice two bullet points at the bottom. We're going to hit this all together. This is how we can kind of summarize everything we've done. Bullet point number one: God is the uncaused cause. God is the uncaused cause. Then secondly, I would say this: God is the uncreated creator. One final thought from R.C. Sproul: this uncaused cause and uncreated creator must have the power of being within itself. It must exist in and of itself. This cause must be eternal, for that which does not exist cannot later bring itself into existence. Moreover, this cause must be personal, for an impersonal one could not create personal beings. Only a personal, self-existent God can answer the question, why is there something rather than nothing? And all God's people said, amen. I know that we got a little deep in the weeds this morning, but it's good for us. And my heartbeat this morning is that we would truly see the aseity of God as that attribute that is like a blinking billboard that separates us from the Creator and creation. We are not the Creator, rather we're part of His beautiful creation. And so my prayer is that we would learn and study these character traits and go deeper in our relationship with God. I want every head bowed and every eye closed as we prepare for a gospel invitation this morning. And maybe you're here today and there's never been that moment of conversion. There's never been that moment when you have given your heart to Christ. The Bible says there is none righteous, not even one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that your story? Is that your testimony that you have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior? I pray that it is. But maybe you're here today and there's never been that moment of conversion. You've been trying to navigate this thing called life and do so on your own, and you're trying to somehow get enough gold stars, so to speak, to get to heaven. Well, here's the truth of the matter. You'll never make it on your own. You need the gospel of God. In other words, you need Jesus Christ. Jesus, He who knew no sin, became sin for us and paid the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. He paid the price for our sins. Have you trusted Him today? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." I promise you this, if you call out to Jesus to save him and you're sincere, based upon the authority of the Word of God, He will gloriously save you. And so if that describes you in just a moment, as we have a gospel invitation, I would love to sit down with you and show you within the pages of God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you are a child of God, but maybe you're just going through a difficult time and you need to come and pray. If that's the case, I'd be so honored to pray with you and just encourage you through prayer. And finally, maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Meridian Baptist Church is a collective group of salt-of-the-earth Christians that love the Lord and they want to do great things for the kingdom of God. And if you're looking for a place where you can come alongside other believers and roll up your sleeves and serve the Lord, this is the place. We would love to celebrate in that decision as you unite with the family here at Meridian. And then finally, maybe there's another decision that you need to make. Maybe you've been putting off believer's baptism. You're saved, but yet you haven't followed in believer's baptism. Remember, believer's baptism is an act of obedience. And it's letting the world know where you stand with Jesus Christ, that you're a follower of Him. So don't delay. Don't put off what God has already told you to do. If that's the case, we would love to celebrate with you in that decision. Heavenly Father, we give you this gospel invitation. We are so thankful for the grace and mercy that you provide. And Lord, we ask that as we have this invitation, that the Holy Spirit would just lead, guide, and direct us. Father, we love you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. Brother Dennis.
I have heard the voice of salvation. Jesus sought me for his own. On the cross he died to save me. Now I long to make him known. All to thee I give my all to thee. All to thee of Calvary, my prayer shall ever be, my all to thee.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me mention just a couple of prayer concerns. Continue to remember Pam Lewis. She did have surgery on Friday. They had to remove the remaining toes on her right foot from this infection that she had. So she's had a very rough road. She's in room 309 at Fort Sanders. Continue to pray for a speedy recovery. I believe she's going to get to come home in the next few days and stay with her daughter. So that's good news, and we want to continue to pray for her speedy recovery. Do continue to remember Sam Lonas and Billy Birchall, Lou Jones, and others that have been sick recently. Let's continue to pray for healing for all those within the church family. David Stroud, come and lead us in a closing word of prayer, and in your prayer, if you will ask a blessing upon the food that we're about to receive. So let me mention the meal real quick. I guess that would be a good thing to do. We have our annual patriotic meal today in the fellowship hall. So come and join us for that. It'll be a great time of fellowship. So down there on the second floor, just behind the sanctuary, join us for that special time. Brother David.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your message today, and God, for the music today. All glory to you today, Lord, and for all those that work so hard on it. Lord, we ask that you bless this food that we're about to have and those that work so hard for it. Lord, we thank you for this nation, and I pray that we'll always be known as a nation that loves you, Lord. Lord, we ask all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.